Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Joe Spiker and his fantastic team are there to help you out with any and all of your roofing needs, commercial or residential. That includes even the insulation and the gutters as well. Educating you about every possible solution, locally owned and operated, family-owned business. They are voted neighborhood favorite on the Nextdoor app. I know my wife's got there's a chat group for all the neighborhood, and somebody said, I need a roofer. Anyone recommend someone? There were like six responses. All six were Easton Roofing. You can see for yourself. Go to EastonRoofing.com or call 913-257-5426. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. Inspections, estimates, always free. Yep, you bet. You can even get financed with Easton Roofing. Multiple lenders means competition. It means saving you money. Most roofers only have one lender that they work with. That's not the case with Easton Roofing. Get back to business. Get back to life faster with Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. See them online at EastonRoofing.com. Danny, how are you, my friend?
Doing just fine, Saran. I'm on the back end of a little cold, but that's okay.
Boy, howdy.
Push backwards. Weren't we going to put the salad guard up? And
well, we were.
Your situation?
Yeah, but I wasn't. We weren't on the same room yesterday, so I didn't think it mattered.
Cold and flu season. You know,
I was. You know, I think I peaked on Tuesday, so I think I'm good. I think you're good. And we're a pretty good distance away. I won't spit at you. Maybe verbally I will.
He's not spitting. He may spit some facts.
Yeah.
Spit some truth.
Spit some venom.
Although the Chiefs have announced Mecole Hardman, Justin Watson, Travis Kelce questionable for Sunday. Kelce was a full go today, though, was he not?
Well, they couldn't find him for the interview.
He said he was getting treatment. So, but he is on the injury list.
There's a lot of questionables.
Patrick Mahomes
out there.
Is not.
Christian McCaffrey is listed as questionable, but they're like, he's going to play.
Yeah, Mahomes is not on the list.
Hayden Hurst is listed as questionable. At least he was last night. I did my playoff fantasy draft. Curtis did too. We're still alive.
Mm-hmm. Amazingly.
The best of the best. That's what's left now.
After my debacle of a draft a week ago, I somehow managed to snake my way to the second most points last weekend.
Bart Scott. What's
that
his name?
That is Boston Scott.
Boston Scott. If he didn't score, would you have made it?
Randolph Scott. I might not have.
Okay. A Boston Scott Eagles touchdown. Apparently, he only scores against the Giants.
Maybe I would have.
Gets Curtis into the next round after he blew the draft.
This is something I would recommend to fantasy football fans.
Is the playoff fantasy
league? Yes, I think
it's
an interesting. Yeah. It's very unlike your normal draft. It makes you make decisions and judgments that you don't normally make in a fantasy draft. So, anyway, that's all.
There you go.
That's all. No one cares about anybody else.
Congratulations! Congratulations to the both of you.
Yes. We enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. You should do it sometime. But I know you fear competition, Danny. So
not really.
You know.
I fear doing things half-assed, and if I don't feel like I can...
That's clearly not true.
Well, that's right. That's really why I've never done a lot of fantasy sports.
Because you suck at it.
No, because
I... you'd be humiliated.
Because I don't want to put the amount of time that I would feel comfortable in doing it right.
Lack of work ethic.
Not really. Things that may be more important in life than fantasy sports. You know? And if I did them, and if I did it to the... And also, I'd piss everybody off because I'd be... To use a phrase that you probably will probably come up in the rest of the hour, I would be non-transactional. And nobody likes a non-transactional person in their league.
That's why I would not want to do baseball. Football, fantasy football, one team, maybe two teams, is... That's the amount of work I want to put into it. Baseball requires too much effort and I wouldn't want to do it. So there is a point where you're like, that's
too
much
for
me.
There are plenty. Like, if you do rotisserie baseball, it's like a once-a-week endeavor. You can just sit down and do it on Sundays, and that's it. You set your lineup and go. You know? Stop. You guys are just cowards.
True.
That's all I'm...
Yeah. I don't have the stones to maneuver players I didn't really pay for.
I don't have the courage to play some faux baseball game.
That's right.
You guys don't know for
you don't
courage.
Have the guts.
Not real competition.
You don't have the guts. You don't have the true grit it takes to dig in and play fantasy sports the way I do. Danny, are you buying that Patrick Mahomes, he looks good to me. Are you in that club? Looks fine to me.
No, I'm not in that club.
Shouldn't be a problem.
Patrick Mahomes, I'm not saying it'll be a problem. He is not going to be Patrick Mahomes, full Patrick Mahomes. He can be great Patrick Mahomes. We all know he's the highest rated quarterback from within the pocket. He can. I think he may be to the point where he's improved enough that it might not affect his throwing like we saw it. He clearly was compromised last week through some balls that you'd never have seen him throw, ever. I have had a high ankle sprain in my life. It was before I think people even knew how to diagnose one, but all I know was that I could walk and look like he does out on the practice field within 3 days, and I didn't play basketball for months. Because if you tried to do anything really athletic, it was like, whoa! What? I thought I was better. So, and he's got the greatest treatment in the world, but you're not getting the, full-blown Patrick Mahomes can sit back there and, quickly decide, I'm darting for a first down. I think that's out. I'm sorry.
We're going to see how Patrick Mahomes has to win games when he's 36 years old.
Yeah,
that's
but
what this
we
is
won't,
gonna be like.
And we won't sure. really know until the game starts, and that's kind of good for the Chiefs because it just creates extra work for a fine defensive coordinator and Lou Anarumo, and he probably is going to have two plans, and he's going to unleash the first one, and then he's like, "Well, he looks fine to me," so we're going to the usual plan against Patrick Mahomes, whatever that may be that he's cooked up.
What we also don't know is, I mean, if nothing happens in the game, what does he look like? And what does he look like if he takes a couple of shots on that ankle? I mean, all it takes is one play, one guy to get in there at his feet, hits that exact same spot, and everything, all bets are off.
Or it just takes him to take one funny step. I mean, literally.
Or somebody step on the ankle.
Yeah. Right,
we saw that in 19.
If everything goes well.
Cam Irving on his roller skates and shoved right back into Mahomes and stepped on his ankle, and he was hobbled the rest of that game.
Yeah. I mean, we're here because of something that happened in the course of a game. There's no reason to think it couldn't happen again.
I think I am open to the idea that losing the mobility and just not having the escapability, that he goes in and runs the offense like an old man, and it ends up working really good.
Oh, absolutely. It's
Tom Brady-esque in what he does.
And also Andy Reid is planning
McKinnon
for
has,
that.
Yeah, McKinnon has 8 catches, and Pacheco has 4 catches, and Noah Gray has 3, and, 3 or 4. Kelsey has his array. You know, that there's just a lot of short stuff, and they nickel, dime, and dink them down the field, and they actually end up burning more clock, and it ends up being a great game plan.
I'm completely open to that possibility. It's one of the reasons that I'm going to lean to pick the Chiefs, because I think they will have some. I'm thinking because
Danny unleashed to boldly take a favorite.
Well, they're the favorite now. I think the whole dynamic of the week has really played well into the Chiefs' favor. They got to feel disrespected for a while because the betting line moved 18 miles and they were the underdog, and oh boy, nobody respects us, and we're tired of hearing about the Bengals and Joe Burrow. And so that's all good, although I, for the life of me, we've all played sports to some level, but it's the AFC.
You're not going to tell us about your Little League battle
again,
right?
It's the AFC championship game. More fuel to the fire just seems odd to me, but
I'm with you. Like, and some of the guys have said that it's the AFC championship game. If you need this stuff to get ready, then you got problems to begin with. I agree with that, but
the reality is, I think it's true. I think they still get, after the game, you'll probably hear it.
Oh, for sure. I think I do think there's still something to it, but I think there's some teams that it'll be a negative, right? If they're well, we're gonna shut them up, and then they're overamped. Like, I think it's gonna be interesting to see who's talking during the game, right? Are the Chiefs the first ones woofing? Then it got to them, and they're seemingly more concerned about woofing than winning.
Well, the one thing that I've thought of as well is that I think a lot of people have bought into this narrative that the Chiefs are, you know, sick of Joe Burrow, they're sick of the Bengals, blah, blah, blah. Well, they were sick of him on December 5th, or was it the 5th, I think?
Whatever it was.
They had pointed to that game. They had talked about how, you know, we're tired of this. This is the time to put an end to this baloney. And then they went out and lost again. So I guess it's even more now. But, I mean, it wasn't like they were sort of la-di-dying that game.
No, they brought it. They still lost.
Right.
And maybe that's the lesson they got there, is they put too much into that game, and now they're just trying to
play football. You
know, yeah, be level, come prepared, but don't ramp yourself up into thinking it's more than it is.
Right, and the other part is, hey, it's not like the Chiefs haven't scored points, but in the important parts of the game late, the Bengals have had defensive answers. The Bengals are, I think I saw this metric, the best team at making second-half adjustments on defense in the NFL. The Chiefs are also good at that, by the way. And he's looks to me like he's an ace defensive coordinator right now. And so he's probably, the Bengals are the beneficiary of the fact that he's, you know, people don't like defensive coordinators to be their head coaches very much anymore. So we'll see if in the offseason he gets a job. But he's done a great job. They always seem to have something cooked up for other people. But the other aspect that makes me feel good for the Chiefs is the fact that the Bengals have been spotty on offense. As much as people have talked about, you know, Joe Cool and all that, I mean, they weren't much against the Ravens in the first round of the playoffs. Took a defensive touchdown for them to win the game. And what did they score on offense? 14, 13, I think? 13. Didn't they win 20-17?
24-17. They scored 17.
So 17. They scored 17. So then that's not been uncommon for them. So I think there's and I think the game's going to be a little more low scoring than most people would think. So
why?
Because I think the Chiefs might have to do what you just said, which is to take a little bit longer to take the ball down the field and score. And I think the Chiefs defense is going to play a good game. And I think both defenses are going to be able to hold the offenses to a couple field goals. So I guess I just shouldn't circle around here. I'm picking 23-20, which is still four scores for the Bengals and five for the Chiefs. But it's some field goals thrown in there. And I think both teams are going to take more time to score or do their scoring drives, because I think that the Bengals really, I think, are going to commit to try to run the football. And I will say this, if the Bengals run the football very effectively, I think they'll win the game.
They haven't run the ball very effectively for like 5 or 6 weeks.
Not much, but they did last week. They ran the ball very effectively, but I also will say that it's much harder to play defense on a snowy field than it is to play offense.
I agree.
So I think they're just on balance. There's just a couple more boxes I can check for the Chiefs. To me, it's I think the betting line reflects my feelings on the game. It's bounced back and forth. This game's it's a coin flip type of game. It likely will come down to one of the quarterbacks is going to have to do something at the end of the game. And will it be that you've got yourself in a position where that quarterback has to score a touchdown, or does he have to go down and just get a field goal to beat you or tie you? So that's the kind of game I think it's going to be. I mean, I can't think of a game or a week where football fans got to dig in more and enjoy more the anticipation of the game, between the seesawing of the betting line, some jaw-jacking by the Bengals, Chiefs doing a little bit themselves, the fact that the Bengals have beaten them three straight times, the fact that the game is the last game of the day on Sunday, you have to wait all weekend for it, and there's so much on the line. I mean, the Bengals are still in a position there where they probably this is not they're not the Bills yet.
Right.
They can lose. They made the Super Bowl. They've made a championship game. They're on the road again. It's completely excusable for them to lose this game if it's a close game. You
right.
get run. It's not ever excusable. But the Chiefs, this is a big time football. Lots of statistical reputation and conversation on the line. We talked about it last week. Andy Reid would be 3-7 in conference championship games. The Chiefs would have played five straight in a row, and now that they're the favorite, they would have been the favorite. Were they the favorite the first one? Probably
yeah.
not.
Yeah. This would be the 14th consecutive playoff game they've been favorite.
So they've been the favorite five straight times on their home field in the AFC championship game and gone 2-3. That's not very good. But you make three Super Bowls, and who knows whether they'll win or lose it. But you make three Super Bowls in a five-year span, that's just fine, and the other numbers will just fade into the dust a little bit.
You make three Super Bowls in a five-year span, it's spectacular.
Yes.
It's not just fine. It's spectacular.
Right. It's very good. Now, I would go to spectacular if you win two of them. I would go to just fine.
Curtis, how many teams have made three Super Bowls in 5 years?
Right off the top of my head, I don't know.
Bills.
Half of you.
Cowboys.
Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Patriots.
Right. Steelers, Pats.
This is a semantics argument. Yeah. I'm not saying it's
it can't be more. I'll bet it's not 10. Right.
I'm not saying it's not a fine accomplishment, believe me, but it's a way better accomplishment if you take two out of three of them instead of losing
sure.
two out of three.
No argument there.
Right.
But, I mean...
But losing this game has a real downside for the Chiefs.
No, but it's like when, you know, Andy Reid got here. It's like, need to get a winning record. First year, check. Playoffs, first year, check. Playoff win, no. But 9-7 was okay. Now then he started like 1-5, and they were actually starting to say that he sucked, and he was out. And then they won 10 in a row. Check. Another winning season, another playoff season, and won a playoff game. Check. That was all good. Until he lost to the Titans. And then he had lost to the Titans, the Steelers, the Pats, 15, 16, 17. Yeah, that was the run. Pats, Steelers, Titans. And people were starting to be like, okay, he's got one playoff win. 18, Patrick Mahomes starts, win the division, set records,
right.
MVP. Mahomes gets to check MVP, gets to check division champ, gets to check conference championship game, got a lot of the boxes checked. Then the second year, he checks everything else. Super Bowl champion and MVP of the Super Bowl. So much pressure gone.
Right.
Right? Gone. They're starting to creep. I'm with you
yes.
that like there might be a little more pressure. Like, oh, is it? It's not Marino because he's got a championship. He's been to two Super Bowls. But is he going to be Aaron Rodgers? If you get that second one, no more of the, well, they were a 3rd-and-15 away from not winning the game against the Niners. Or they were – all that evaporates because now you've been to 3-1-2, five straight conference championship games. Now you're officially the dynasty of the AFC.
Absolutely. And also, you probably give yourself a couple, three more years of no pressure.
Yeah.
You've accomplished all this stuff. Sure, you want to keep winning, but you'll have enough on your resume where it'd have to be like – three first-round losses down the road or missing the playoffs or something before there'd be conversations again about anything negative regarding the Chiefs.
No doubt. I always love the what's at stake. I love to play that game. And there's a lot at this one. I think the other thing that's at stake is Zach Taylor versus Andy Reid. You know, I got into this, you know, a little bit of a disagreement with Mike Sando yesterday. He's like, well, Zach Taylor's no Andy Reid. Really? I mean, if we're talking career accomplishments, of course not. He hasn't coached for 23 years. But he would have beaten him twice in his own place in the conference championship game and been to two Super Bowls, you know, one less than Andy Reid right now. I would say
one more than Andy Reid since he started coaching.
And if he wins, if the Bengals would go on and
even,
win the Super Bowl,
actually.
If the Bengals go on and win the Super Bowl, then... You know, I would be like, yeah, I think he's all caught up and
ready to go by on the outside.
Yeah, I see you in my mirror there, coach. You know, here we go. Let's take a break. More with Danny. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. You can find them online at eastonroofing.com. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. The only folks that'll be on my roof are Easton Roofing. Find them right now at eastonroofing.com.
tonight, the Good Sense End of the Hour answer. Three Super Bowl teams have had a rookie wide receiver with 1,000 yards. As for any one of the three players. Rookie wideout.
You're joking. There's
1,000
three?
Yards. Three. 3,000-yard rookie receivers have gone to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Nothing.
Well, it's not Jerry Rice. Nope. He was a rookie and went to the Super Bowl, but he only had 9-something. That was his one non-1,000-yard season, except for his ACL year.
Nothing is flying into my head.
To the Super Bowl, 1,000-yard rookie. One of the Broncos, Ricky Natil didn't do it.
One guy's active.
Give me decades.
80s, early 80s, mid-90s, and very recent. Extremely recent.
Last year, clearly. Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase.
That was embarrassing how long that took. J-A apostrophe capital M-A-R-R,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I always like to document the answers. Jamar Chase, what was the other decades?
Mid-90s. Loser.
95, 96, 97. So we're talking.
Wow. All three teams lost.
Sounds right.
Loser in the mid-90s. Give me the team.
Patriots.
1,000-yard rookie?
96.
Branch?
Terry Glenn.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of the wrong Pats team. That's the Parcells one.
And okay. Celebrating his 64th birthday today.
What team?
Bengals.
Chris Collinsworth.
Chris Cadillac.
Who played in the Super Bowl as a rookie and played his last NFL game in the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, in addition to it being his birthday today, he's getting down on his knee to propose to Trevor Lawrence.
Although some people think he's going to propose to Mahomes as well, but
well, I mean, he's just generally a positive announcer. I mean, he is. I like him, but he'll gush about many people. I mean, he was gushing as much about Mahomes in that game as he was about Lawrence. It's just that Lawrence doesn't warrant it yet.
No, I don't think so.
So,
I don't think so. I actually think you're wrong. I'm not just saying this to be flippant. I think he was drooling over Trevor Lawrence. I thought it was ridiculous because I don't think Trevor Lawrence deserves a third of what he was getting.
I think Trevor Lawrence,
especially in that game, he was when I tweeted it out. What was he? 9 of 13 for 72
yards. Like that.
Yeah, he wasn't doing very much. He was not.
I mean, this
he was
guy
was not screwing the game up. But.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Well, you were hardly alone in your sentiment about Chris Collinsworth. There was many a
well, I think it's
profane and disturbing meme that was flying around during the course
really?
Of the game.
Yeah. That's fine. But I'm like, people got upset over, you know, when Joe Buck talked about Madison Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner was doing phenomenal things.
Yeah, one run over 22 innings in
Trevor
the World
Lawrence
Series.
Trevor Lawrence was just not turtling.
Right.
That literally all he was doing while the drooling was going on. It's like he had prepped, kiss Lawrence ass, and he was going to do it every fourth play.
Maybe his thought was that Trevor Lawrence was primed to steal the game or something. Maybe in the back
wanted
of his
to be
mind,
on the,
he thought he wanted to be on the front end of the yeah. fact that he was going to have a big game, or I don't know. But I agree. He didn't warrant the effusive praise he was getting.
Okay.
Agreed.
I'll take that. Danny Aroldis Chapman is a Royal. Your level of excitement on a scale of 1 to 10?
That's a weird one. I think he still has effective pitching in him.
97 plus miles per hour last year.
Right.
Not 102.
Now, it seems like he's maybe lost a little command over the last couple years, maybe in an effort to throw as hard as he once did. The pride of Great Britain's World Baseball Classic team joins the Royals.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yes, he's joined the Britain's World Baseball team 2 days ago.
How?
Because he's of Jamaican descent, he qualifies okay. for Britain's team. Now, why he decided to be on Britain's team, I don't know. I don't know.
Assuming the only one he could make?
Maybe. Anyway.
Can't go back and play for Cuba.
I guess not. Are they playing in it now?
I don't know. They're either not playing, but they're definitely not. If he goes back, I don't think he's getting off the bus.
They'll
keep him on the bus, Danny.
No, what I'm saying is he could, if he doesn't have to go back to, are they playing in it? Where are they playing it this year?
I don't think Cuba takes part in it, one, to solve it, but I don't really. The World Baseball Classic, which I actually love the idea of, and I think they have completely botched, is not really on my radar screen enough for me to really
All I'm
dig
saying
into
is
it.
If they did participate, he could technically play for Cuba without ever having to go back to Cuba.
Japan, looks like.
I'm pretty sure that there may be, you know.
Issues?
I think he may be detained. Put on the team bus and driven to the airport and sent back. I would not jerk around
with
playing for the country I defected from.
Right. Agreed. Anyway, he's on Britain's team, for those of you who... I don't know anybody else who is. I'm a little curious as to who Britain...
Well, who is it? Sidney Ponson was playing for the Netherlands or something?
Well, yeah, because Aruba is a protectorate of the Netherlands. So there's actually, like, Jonathan Scope, I think, is from Aruba. Aruba's got a pretty good... I mean, the Netherlands has a good team because they have a few players from Aruba who are good. So, I mean, I think they actually made the semifinals.
I'm bored, and I'm sitting in front of you looking at your your face and everything, and I'm still bored with this.
All right. Okay, we'll move off the world.
What do you think of Aroldis Chapman to the Royals?
I think that... if you hold your nose, it's a good baseball move. I mean, there's not much to like about the travails and off-the-field antics of Aroldis Chapman and his behavior as a teammate and everything else. As a pitcher, he looks like he's still got plenty to me. And if you can harness that for this season or at least to the All-Star break, because it doesn't appear that the Royals are poised to be competitive... and he pitches effectively, then you can flip him. So, purely baseball, I think it's fine.
Mondesi trade.
Absolutely fine. It was too wearying, I think, for the fans, for the organization. He could go to Boston this year. I mean, he has played one healthy full season. It was a pandemic year. He played all the games but one.
And that was a 60-game season, Danny.
Right.
He's never played a full season.
Right. So it's totally worth the risk. But he can go there, play 100 games, and be a good player for them.
So what?
And
people, irrelevant.
I agree. I'm not worried about it at all. I think if he goes... Now, the return...
I don't care. I don't care. I honestly, they got a bag of rubber dog too. I don't care. And it's not that that's what I think of Adalberto Mondesi. I wish him well. I'm not a hater in life.
I'm totally with you. I got to a point last year where at one point I was like, oh yeah, he's still on. It's like August. He still belongs to the Royals.
It's not even about our weariness. It's not even about the fans' weariness. It's about that you drafted a guy number two overall. You have celebrated him. According to Jeff Passan, you went down the road of giving him an extension before he ever came to the big leagues. And then you jerked him around and said, you're going to third for this guy that we've given everything to, and he has done nothing to return what we've given to him. He's going to play your position.
Agreed.
That is blanked up. Okay, right. That you've lost your compass. When you do that, that move last year was ridiculous. He should have been traded last year. And why they didn't, they ran the risk of getting sideways with the guy that they think. Now, I'm left only, after then he shows poor defensive metrics at shortstop, to be left with, they're not quite that sold on Bobby Witt Jr. I actually don't think that's the case. I think they are sold. I think they think he's going to be a star. But when you jerk around the guy that you think is going to be the franchise guy for your team, when you're not about to win, and somebody said, well, Fernando Tatis, they made him trade business. In the midst of winning,
right,
you're not going anywhere. And you're going to want this guy to be the leader. You're going to want to put a C on his chest. You're going to want to do all this. But along the way, this guy who has a 274 on base percentage, can't play more than about 70 games a year, he gets his spot. That makes no sense to me.
It doesn't.
And now that is done.
I'm completely good with
Bobby Wood Jr. will play short. And if nothing else, they find out whether or not he can play short, whether or not he gets better on having the spot all year. I literally don't care what they got for Adalberto Mondesi. This deal had to be done. It should have been done. I would have said the same thing for the last 2 years, have said the same thing for the last 2 years. And anyone who says change has not come with J.J. Piccolo is not paying attention.
Well,
because Mondesi would still be here.
I think both of these deals are indications that changes. I mean, Aroldis Chapman is not on this team if Dayton Moore is the general manager, period.
Yeah.
Period. So, yeah, in both cases, I think we can see that. And now, in a couple of cases from the press conference the other day, and you and I were on that press conference, it was an indication of the fact that, they still are in evaluation process with even Bobby Witt. I mean, there was nothing said or intimated there or with the ideas about who they're going to test out at center that they really felt really that strongly about the fact that they have center field and shortstop locked up. It was just like, next year is experimental. I mean, that really was kind of the tenor of that. And that's, I think, probably not so great for the fans to hear. But what it is, it's reality. It's a good way to... Bobby Witt Jr. can be a superstar at third base if they find somebody who they think is, they say, well, let's let him just be an offensive juggernaut at third base and be better there than he would be at shortstop. And we've got a slick fielding shortstop who can hit a little bit. I don't know if they'll find that. It looked like we found out again that Nicky Lopez really can't hit, but it's absolutely worth trying again, even though his metrics, as you say, weren't particularly good.
Most
of those to me were things that were sloppy.
A guy who's making his debut, and is carrying the pressure of saving the franchise again, just like Zach Greinke had to do. He couldn't handle it.
It's like Alex Gordon had to do.
Alex Gordon had to do. He couldn't handle it.
Right.
What was different the next time? There was a bunch of them. There was Mondesi. There was Moustakas. There was Hosmer. There was Salvi. There was a bunch of no one guy had to carry the weight. Bobby Wood Jr. kind of came up now. Pascantino's come with them. That he came up later. So now there's going to be kind of a wingman to it. They think he's going to be pretty good. MJ Melendez came.
Right.
But initially, the only one was him. And in the midst of it, it's go play another position. When the spring before we had you playing yet another position, second base. Now go play third base. And then let's jerk the wheel back over to short when Mondesi tanks. Like, there's a lot that the kid's capable of a lot. There's no doubt. He's got the pedigree. He's been around the big league clubhouse. We hear that about Patrick Mahomes all the time. Either we're going to buy that crap or we're not. So that should have rubbed off on Bobby Witt Jr. He should be more equipped for it from having grown up in a major league clubhouse. Okay. But
although wasn't his father basically about retired when he was born?
I don't know.
I think
was
he was.
He?
Yeah, I think he maybe.
I'm rolling here, Danny.
Doesn't matter.
I'm rolling here. And
he's
just
rolling.
You just crap on my roll with facts.
He's slowing his roll.
What are you doing, man?
The whole roll has been...
You can't wait for the break and go, by the way. No, you got to do it right here to show me up.
He'll do that, too.
And I could well be wrong, too, but the whole roll...
You're probably right.
The whole roll is exactly right. The trade had to be made. I'm fine with it. Who knows? The guy, except for the fact that he didn't pitch last year, that he did some really fine things and in pressurized situations. I think within the two trades, I might have wanted at least one position player instead of all arms. But that's about the only little fly in the ointment there.
Seems like
they have a lot of nobody has a surplus of pitching. Let's face it.
Yeah,
but. It's not like, we're set around the diamond because they just said we're going to try out two guys at center field.
The Rays routinely run out guys that are playing for league minimum contracts that then are striking out 12 per 9. And they come from all different places. They're not just drafted. They come from other teams. They find different looks, different angles. They tweak a curveball. They eliminate a pitch. They tell a guy to throw a pitch he's throwing 10% of the time, throw it 70% of the time, and they make him lights out. I am going to trust that this is the new brain trust coming over Brian Sweeney, coming over from Cleveland, Quatrero, and his bench coach coming over.
Paul Hoover.
Hoover coming over from the Rays. They're like, listen, we will get these guys and we will own 6, 7, 8, 9. We get enough out of 1 through 5. You know, I hate to quote a guy because he ended up being a dismal failure, but Trey Hillman's, you know, we're going to pitch it, we're going to catch it, we're going to scratch for a few runs. I think that is kind of what the Rays do. And this at least looks kind of like that blueprint. So I'm willing to water it and give it a chance to grow.
It does. I will say this, that the Rays have had a better offense than people have thought. You know, they
I agree.
They pieced that together, too. So.
Not, but not off any blockbuster trade.
No.
You know, Randy Arozarena wasn't even supposed to be the key to the deal
right.
when they got him. You know, you're right. You know, their catcher, Francisco Mejia, was a waiver claim.
Right.
I mean.
Oh, they're I mean, you they're out there winning with the lowest payroll in baseball. They do things amazingly right, and hopefully they're getting some of that Rays dust over here. That'd be great.
More with Danny Klingskill next. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. You can find him online at eastonroofing.com. Joe Spiker and his team, the best. Their employees, absolutely fantastic to work with. And nobody has more knowledge of the roofing business than Easton Roofing. Every possible way to repair a roof. There are a lot of techniques that they have that are brand new that a lot of other roofing companies won't even get near because they just don't understand how to work it. Whether it's your business, the biggest of tallest of biggest buildings in this town, Easton Roofing has worked on it, or your home. They're happy to get up on your home's roof as well. Just check them out online right now at eastonroofing.com. Well, Danny Unleashed on a Friday, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. You can check them out online right now at eastonroofing.com. That's eastonroofing.com. They are absolutely the best company in town to work with. Great people doing a fantastic job, whether it's your home or your business. Gutters, insulation, yep, they do that as well. Find them online right now at eastonroofing.com. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied, serving the entire metro. That includes Lawrence and Topeka. Danny,
mm-hmm.
Are the Jayhawks in trouble?
I don't know if they're in trouble, but I would recommend them going out and winning a ball game. That might be nice. And I think that the thing
tips you only get here on Danny Unleashed.
But I think the thought is, hey, they've lost 3 games in a row. This is, you know, this is crisis time. Well, I think you just should look at the whole body of work and realize that, you know, Bill Self had gone to the whip to get this team to number 2. So he's kind of a victim of his own, you know, great work. The first 5 games of the conference season, they were in dogfights, 2 of them with the teams that have won, I think, now 1 or 2 games in the conference total. So, I mean, you could look at it and go, wow, they could be 3-5 in conference play or something mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, at their percolating best, they were still a team with fine margins. And then if you take, you know, you get Grady Dick to have a couple of, you know, bad shooting nights, or, you know, early on when they had the tight games, Jalen Wilson was off a little bit. That's about as off as he gets when he scores 13 or 14. But, and now Dwan has turned into a pretty ordinary, you know, a pass first point guard who can't score at all, who now turns the ball over a little bit. So, well, so I mean, they certainly have the weapons when all are clicking to be a fine team. But because of the way they've decided to play so far, either because they have to or Bill Self, that's what he prefers, they don't play their bench. So they kind of need almost all 5 of the starters to play well in a game. And when that doesn't happen,
well, that's what's become glaring for me. I mean, they're getting like 2 points, 6 points, 8 points. They're getting nada from the bench.
Right. And then if you have the game where they get nothing from the post, and that had been consistent for a while, and then McCullough has an off game, or, you know, he's not a natural
off
scorer.
Off game? What was the on game?
Right. Well, he had 12 one time recently. But
over under on Shibuya rebounds tomorrow. 22?
Oh, well, the over-under, I'll put it 16.
17, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
But he might go over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he may set a record.
This isn't a delightful matchup to try and get well. But no. I think they might pull it off. We'll see.
Okay. Danny, you're the man. Great stuff. Enjoy the game, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, what 2 teams met in the first Super Bowl in which there were no turnovers? brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.